Okay, we're ready to start again. And I think that we will all find this next session fascinating. The continuing journey of the Japanese adoption of IFRS, and certainly looking at these graphs in here around the different adoptions and et cetera, it's certainly far more complex than certainly my little part of the world. Anyway, I'd very much like to welcome Yosuke Onomoto from the Japanese FSA, and he's going to take us through an overview basically of the IFRS adoption. So Yosuke, it's all over to you.
Thank you for your kind introduction. Thank you for organizing this session for us. I'm very happy to be here. Today, I'd like to talk about an overview of IFRS adoption report. My presentation will be in three parts. First of all, I'd like to talk about background of IFRS adoption report. And then I'd like to talk about overview of our survey in adoption report in Japan. And finally, I'd like to talk about the conclusion of the report. First of all, I'd like to talk about the background of IFRS adoption report. Last year, Japanese government decided to issue this report, IFRS adoption report, to promote the company to apply IFRS. IFRS adoption report was mentioned in Japan Revitalization Strategy revised in 2014. Which is official statement issued by Cabinet of Japan. This report includes a fact-finding survey and interviews conducted by JFSA to identify any challenges and advantages to apply IFRS. JFSA issued this report this April, and you can get English translation also available in our website. This chart shows the number of the companies that applying IFRS. Japanese companies are permitted to adopt IFRS since 2010. Here you can see in this chart, the number of companies that applied IFRS have been increasing gradually since 2010. And after 2014, the increase has accelerated. And at the end of the March 13, 75 companies applied or plan to apply IFRS. The total market capitalization is accounted for the 18.5% of the total Japanese capitalization in Japan. This slide shows the share of the companies applying each accounting standard in terms of the market capitalization. In Japan, three different accounting standards are permitted for the companies: IFRS, US GAAP, and JGAAP, Japanese GAAP. US GAAP is primarily permitted for the SEC registrant. As you can see in this chart, the number of the companies and share of the companies that applied US GAAP and or Japanese GAAP have been gradually decreased. In contrast, the share of the companies applying IFRS has been increasing. So you can see the trend of Japanese companies shifting to IFRS. At the end of this March, the share of the IFRS adopter exceeded that of the US GAAP adopters. The next slide shows the industry sector of the companies applying IFRS. Companies applying IFRS covers 21 industry sectors, various sectors. However, these companies concentrate on certain industry sectors, electric appliance, pharmaceutical, household sale, and other sectors. On the other hand, there are 12 industry sectors with no IFRS adopters. This slide shows the major list of the major Japanese companies applying IFRS. In the first part of my presentation, I outlined the background of the IFRS adoption report. And then I'd like to talk about the overview of our survey in this report. Our target companies are 40 companies adopting IFRS and 29 companies planning to adopt IFRS. And total targeted companies are 69 companies. Survey method, we sent questionnaires to all the 69 companies, and then we picked 28 companies to interview with CFOs or appropriate person in accounting department. We picked basically major companies and at least one company for each industry sector. Our first question was primary reason, primary advantage for transition to IFRS. In Japan, 75 companies have already decided to adopt IFRS by themselves. Is there any advantage for these companies? The first advantage, according to this survey, was sophistication of business management, which is cited by 44.6 of respondents as a primary reason for the transition to IFRS. These companies have a number of the overseas subsidiaries all over the world, and the Japanese GAAP mainly financial data in overseas subsidiaries are typically prepared under IFRS or US GAAP, and then they have to make adjustment to the Japanese GAAP in the consolidation level. For example, subsidiary A in Europe applied IFRS. For example, the subsidiary B in the US applied the US GAAP, and subsidiary C in Japan applied the Japanese GAAP. So it is very difficult to compare the financial data within the group. After transition to IFRS, the companies, all the companies subsidiary ABC apply the same accounting policy at the local level, so that they are able to make a consistent decision within a group, and their performance also will be fairly assessed across the jurisdictions. Some companies indicated that they implement an advanced management system where all the financial data is reported by various perspectives, such as by business line, by region, by function, and something like that. For these companies, IFRS is used to apply to all the subsidiaries, including the overseas subsidiaries, because IFRS is international and globally understood standard with the local people. Their second advantage to apply IFRS was improved comparability with domestic and foreign competitors. Some companies indicated that over 30% of the shareholdings were held by foreign investors, and their major competitors are located in a European country or Asian country. For these companies, IFRS is useful for the global comparability. They no longer need to explain about the differences in accounting standards to the foreign investors. They can focus on their business plan or business strategy in their IR meetings. They highlighted that IFRS is useful to communicate well with foreign investors. Third advantage to apply IFRS was better reflection of performance. Not so many companies cited a better reflection of performance as a primary reason for the transition to IFRS. Our second question was transition processes. Half of responding companies indicated that CEO or CFO proposed the transition to IFRS. Other companies indicated that the accounting department proposed the transition to IFRS. In both approach, top-down or bottom-up, the company pointed out company-wide involvement was very important to transition to IFRS. Our third question was transition cost. Transition costs vary depending on the stations. In terms of company size, this chart shows the larger company spend the larger cost. It's easy to understand. Transition cost is also related to the purpose to apply the IFRS. Some companies sometimes upgrade their entire IT systems for the purpose of the business management. For these companies, the total transition cost sometimes includes a full upgrade cost for their IT systems. So the full total transition cost will be higher because the total transition cost includes pure implementation cost and full upgrade cost for IT systems. In contrast, the companies that focus on comparability for investors spend a limited cost for IT systems. Some of these companies adjust the financial data in the consolidation process without any sophisticated IT systems. Our last question was the challenges for transition to IFRS. In our survey, we inquire about in four areas: accounting topics, and training and human resources, accounting systems, internal controls. Many respondents told us that they had a primary challenge in accounting topics, which are different from Japanese GAAP. Many companies indicated that depreciation method and revenue recognition are primary issues because these issues are related to the IT system or their daily operation in the all business units. The other companies pointed out a degree of accounting estimate have been expanded after transition to IFRS. They need more skills and more experience in accounting estimate under IFRS. Secondly, many respondents also indicated they had challenges for training and human resources. Many companies stated that at the transition, they had a shortage of the people familiar with IFRS. They need more knowledge and more expertise to apply the IFRS because they need to carefully consider that their basis for the accounting policy because of the principle-based future of the IFRS. Thirdly, some respondent companies indicated they had challenges for the IT systems. A transition to IFRS, their consolidated financial statements are prepared according to the IFRS. And also, at the same time, they have to prepare separate financial statement according to Japanese GAAP for the statutory reporting. So this is why that they have to implement or sometimes upgrade their accounting system for dual reporting. Finally, some companies cited the challenges for the internal control. However, this challenge is not so serious for these companies. For these challenges, the company has been working on developing people, in-house training, on-the-job training, and acceptance of employees from overseas subsidiaries. In the final part of my presentation, I'd like to talk about the conclusion of our report. First of all, many companies indicate the sophistication of business management was the most common advantage to apply IFRS. Second, in terms of cost, the companies could seek a flexible approach because the transition cost will vary depending on the companies and various factors, company size, primary reason for adopting IFRS. Third, enlarging the number of the accounting experts are essential to accelerate the shift to IFRS in Japan. And finally, the connection with other companies are useful to the companies adopt IFRS in the future. Thank you very much for your attention.
Yusuke, thank you very much for that. I certainly have some questions that I want to ask you, and I'm sure that other members do. But before I open up for discussion, Goro, did you want to say a few words?
Thank you, Joanna. Yosuke explained that currently that the Japan's adoption, you know, that voluntary adoption of efforts by Japanese companies is increasing. And concurrently that we are talking about how can we encourage Japanese companies to adopt efforts voluntarily at the newly established subcommittee of accounting systems under the business reporting councils of FSA, so that the Japan is quite ardent in the promoting efforts, and that is adoption side, and also that the Japan. Although we had decided not to fully adopt IFRS for the time being, but at the same time, we are continue to pursue to Japanese GAAP to converge with IFRS. So we have recently established that to develop the Japanese version of revenue recognition standards, which is a very basically converged standards, which should be the basically the converged standards with IFRS 15. And recently, this isn't just a discussion paper issued by JICPA or Japan Institute of CPA to promote or to suggest the Japanese own version of IAS 1. So that not only that we are increasing the number of adapter of efforts in Japan, but also that the Japanese standard itself is increasingly becoming more, incorporating the more efforts element. And lastly, that on the promotion, on top of that promotion of efforts, the Japanese government are also trying to encourage the engagement between companies investors, and by introducing so-called corporate governance code and the stewardship code, and this, you know, the reform on the corporate governance is clearly impacting the behavior of the Japanese companies and investors. And lastly, that in order to support this engagement between the corporations and the corporations and investors, that the Ministry of Economic and Finance and Economy and the in Trade and Industry just published a report on the kind of a future of corporate reporting type report recommendations, which recommends to consolidate the very complex Japanese accounting or business corporate reporting standards with using some kind of IT technologies. And we are suggesting to establish a kind of new reporting platform called module-based systems, which might be a more suitable agenda for our future of corporate reporting. So maybe that we can discuss in the future. And maybe I believe that Hidetake can talk about the so-called JMIS or something.
Well, I think he's handing it over to you, Hidetake.
sorry. Well, I don't want to discuss James so much at this moment, but at first I would like to say, well, I am, of course, a Japanese, so I would like to say some comment, a supportive comment on that Enomoto-san's presentation. Well, as one of the Japanese preparers, I'm sure that the IFRS voluntary adoption in Japan has been very successful so far. And I can assure you that all parties, including Keidanren, Japan Business Federation, which is comprised of representative companies of Japan, will do the best continuously to expand IFRS voluntary adoption in Japan. That's a basic idea I would like to tell you. Well, that's my message. And at the same time, let me discuss a little bit about James. Well, James have not yet established in Japan, but it is not fourth accounting standard in Japan. There are only two differences between IFRS and James. Well, one is, as you know, goodwill amortization, and the other one is for recycling. They are quite similar. I would like to say that we have accumulated a Japanese accounting policy historically. So, I would be very happy if IASB would think about this kind of Japanese accounting policy a little bit. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that. Garth.
I come from a jurisdiction where far more unlisted companies than listed companies use IFRS. So I was interested to see that only two unlisted companies were using IFRS. And so the questions that I'm asking is, the reason that there's so few unlisted companies using IFRS, is this because the costs are perceived to exceed the benefits? And secondly, to what extent is IFRS included in the curriculum of those studying to be accountants in Japan?
I'd like to first a question. In Japan, unlisted company also the voluntary use an IFRS because they listed another country's market or they prepared an annual report in the according to the IFRS, and at the same time they drag to the prepared financial statement and according to IFRS. And can I ask a second question? What's your second question?
Second question is, to what extent is the IFRS included in the curriculum for those that are studying to be accountants in Japan?
So in the courses, university courses.
Yes. Yes. For Japanese CPA exam don't have a subject. However, in accounting school, they have some courses or subject for the IFRS because they need more knowledge and about IFRS. And some say more and more subjects or courses are needed for the accounting school.
Okay, thank you for that. Arwan.
Thank you. As a securities regulator, I'm very interested in knowing about the legal aspects and enforcement issues of Japan allowing companies to use IFRS, and just in case that there's something wrong with the financial statements, how do you enforce them? Because in Thailand, to enforce something, it has to be a law. So does it mean that now IFRS is part of the Japanese law, even though it's in English and not in official language of the country?
It is a good question. In Japan, three accounting standards are permitted, and it's very, very difficult to enforce. And previously, we focused on the Japanese GAAP and adapter. However, the number of the companies apply IFRS, so it is very important to enforce the IFRS in Japan. We also the planning to expand the people familiar with IFRS, and just we are working on people who can check and review the annual report under IFRS.
So does it mean you wouldn't have any problem enforcing the financial statements that are prepared according to the IFRS, right?
So far, it works well because the companies apply IFRS, usually leading company and excellent company, and so far there no problem. However, the expand if the company the in various sectors, some example the medium sized company try to the IFRS, we need to more skills and more knowledge and.
Now, I'm going to suggest that you two actually converse over lunch, all right?
The officials from the JFSA are multi-talented.
Yes.
They can handle it. Yeah.
And given that the three accounting standards allowed, it is part of the law. But you two talk over lunch, all right?
Yep.
Anne.
Thanks, Joanna. So I'm speaking as CalPERS now, not CII. Japan's our second or third biggest market in the public equities portfolio, depending on where London and Tokyo are on the day. So this development is very important to us, and I just want to congratulate Japan not only on this progress, but another important development which will strengthen the work that you're doing, and that's the adoption of a corporate governance code in Japan, as you said. Because we know as investors that having boards of directors who are independent, who can provide that very tough oversight through the audit committee, this is all part of the architecture that I think ultimately is going to be very good for Japan's access to capital and also for competitiveness. So I realize it's early days, you know, we've written in support of these developments to the regulator, and I'd encourage other investors to do the same, because it's ultimately for our benefit that this hard work's being done. So it is a transition. There's a lot to accomplish, but we'd just like to applaud what you're doing. It's very important.
I think that's very valuable comments, Anne, and I certainly echo that. And the corporate governance side, you're really, really important, so congratulations. Yeah. Olav.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that I was recently in Japan meeting with the insurance associations, and I asked them about IFRS implementation, and as was confirmed by the study, that currently there aren't any insurance companies applying IFRS yet, but there was actually a strong interest in doing so, that there was an intention and expectation that that would happen. Not because they have a lot of international businesses, because they don't, at least yet, but because they have a large proportion of international shareholders. I think about 50% was the estimate they gave me. But of course, that they are awaiting impatience the finalization of IFRS 4 before they could do that. And they also did, when I raised the issue that we're facing around IFRS 9 deferral requirement because of the need to interact with IFRS 4, they confirmed that they wouldn't, from their point of view, obviously start with implementation of IFRS 9 until they had IFRS 4 finalised, and they would do them simultaneously.
Thanks, Olaf, for that, and certainly encouraging in terms of more industries and more adoption in Japan. Last question on this, or comment on this session, Surya.
I was going to pick up on the point that Olaf raised. In fact, I mentioned it to Goro-san offline. None of the banks or the insurance companies have adopted IFRS, and clearly the focus of the ISB over the last couple of years has been on financial instruments. A lot of changes in that area. The Japanese market has some of the largest financial institutions in the world, and it would be interesting to know what is stopping them. Yosuke-san or Goro-san could answer what is stopping them from moving over, or what is the feedback they have, what changes do they want to see.
Poichiro, do you want to make a comment?
I'm an ISB staff following the Japanese development. So in Japan, there is a banking regulation which requires use of Japanese GAAP for domestic purposes. At the same time, some Japanese banks are listed on foreign stock exchange. For example, Sumitomo Bank is listed on New York Stock Exchange, and they actually use IFRS. So, and also other banks are also preparing for use of IFRS. And it's kind of like transition period, and because the IFRS 9 is newly issued, and we hope the positive development will also happen in banking industry and the insurance industry as well. Thanks.
Okay. I think that draws that session to a conclusion, and thank you very much for that. I think it was very informative and very, very encouraging. And let's, you know, the survey that was done in terms of the comments coming through from that as to the rationale for doing so, and hopefully people seeing that and saying, well, perhaps we should try it as well. So really good progress there. Okay.